Oh, there's the other one. Good. We get the privilege this morning of dedicating temperance. There's no ordinance or anything like that in the Baptist church to dedicate a child. But it's a nice thing to do. And it's a solemn thing to do. We can pray for this child, and we can pray for wisdom of the parents to raise this child and nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't mean there's a guarantee, but it means that when she is, at the very least, when she is old, she'll not depart from the Word of God. We live in Rioville, and kids need every chance, especially in this world we live today. Amen. And while we're praying and dedicating temperance praying for and dedicating temperance, I pray that every one of us dig deep within ourselves and pray for temperance also. Everyone in this church at the same time. We look at 1 Samuel where Hannah had prayed and prayed and prayed for a kiddo. And finally God opened up her womb. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 28, she says, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And we're going to pray as long as temperance lives. It should be lent to the Lord. For his glory. For his purpose in her life. That she'll seek the will of God in her life. And she'll bring many untold numbers to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. How many here will continue to pray for temperance? Oh my goodness. The way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. And we prayed for temperance that she get saved first of all, and that she live a sanctified life. And that she use her gifts and be a good steward of her gifts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Last week we learned about the prodigal son. It's a parable of the lost son. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning about how the son was found by the father. He allowed himself to be found and obtained by his father. We looked at the word prodigal, which means extravagant expenditure of what one possesses. In other words, a waste. Wasteful. Finally, after he went out and about on his own, after he had the gimme syndrome and wanted his father, gimme, 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 what's owed to me, he went out and lived a prodigal life. He wasted that which he had. He finally came to himself before he came to his father. He said, "Oh my goodness, I could be at my father's house and not be hungry. I could be at my father's house being blessed." He realized that he was just a child, deplete of wisdom, and completely dependent upon his father. Empty, lonely, and impoverished. Dying a slow, destructive death. And finally, he humbled himself. He gave up righteous living, or gave up riotous living for righteous living. And he learned how to say to his father, "Thank you." He learned how to say to his father, "Forgive me." And he learned to say to his father, "I love you." That's a prodigal son. Let's read Luke chapter 15. Let's look at Luke chapter 15, verse 25. I had first called this sermon the elder son, verse 25. But I changed the name of the sermon even this morning to the prideful son. He's not just an elder son, he's a prideful son. Verse 25, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He, answering, said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him, the fatted calf. And he, the father, said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or suitable that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we do thank you once again for Temperance. We ask you, Lord, that your hand be upon her. We pray, Lord, that we be faithful in praying for her. We pray we be faithful in praying for the Nelson family. We pray we be faithful in serving you, Lord. Please forgive us of our sins. We also pray, Lord, that this message be a blessing. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're not who we think we are. We are who you know we are. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Helps us to look to you for forgiveness, for our very being, Lord. We ask that if there's one here who does not know with certainty that heaven is their home when they die, that today they know, they can come to know you as Savior, calling out to you, asking you to forgive them of their sins. We pray, Lord, for us who know you as Savior, that we call on you this morning and ask you to forgive us for being so darn prideful, Lord. Lord, help us. We need you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This sermon is not going to be an easy sermon. We'll look at verse 25 first. We're going to look at the attributes of the elder son, the attitudes of the elder son, or the prideful son. We're going to look at the attributes of the Father. We're going to look at the attitudes of the Father. And we're going to look at our attributes and attitudes. We're going to compare ourselves this morning as a parallel unto the prideful son. Verse 25 of Luke 15. Now his elder son was in the field as he came and drew nigh to the house. First of all, we see this elder son was industrious. He was working for the Father. He had some sense of responsibility. He had some sense of accountability. He was found in the field laboring for his father. We see in verse 25, he was involved. He heard music and dancing, so he drew nigh into the house. He had enough involvement. He was concerned with what was going on in his father's house. We see in verse 26, and he called out one of his servants and asked what these things meant. This was a pretty good kid. This was a pretty good child. This was a pretty good son of the father. He was took an interest in what was going on in his father's house. And once again, he was laboring for his father. A pretty good kid, by all accounts. In verse 27, he called one of the servants, asked what these things meant. Verse 27, he said unto him, Thy brother has come. Thy father killed the fatted calf because he received him safe and sound. Now we'll look at the attitudes of the prideful son. And he was angry. He was angry. He was angry at his father. In 29, he answered his father. He said, answering to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time. He was mad at his father. He was mad at his brother. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living, he's pointing his finger at his brother in front of his father. He was angry with his father. He was angry with his brother. The attitudes of the elder son. When we were kids, we moved a lot of dirt. We lived up past Unionville. My dad didn't have the money for a backhoe or anything like that. Didn't rent one. So he got an old slip. How many know what a slip is? Yeah, I got an old slip. Slip is a big shovel. It's probably about 2.5 feet wide, maybe 3 feet wide. And it's a big shovel. It comes up maybe about a foot to the sides. It's rounded. And it's got two handles on it like a wheelbarrow. And you used to pull it with horses. My dad had a Jeep. We chained it to the front of the Jeep, then he could watch us. And we were kids. We were maybe 6 or 7 years old at the most. At times when we first started moving dirt, and it was back and forth. He'd back up, you'd lift the slip up a little bit, and it'd dig in. And your whole, we were light, as kids were, so sometimes two of us were on one handle, because if you hit a rock, it'd flip us over, and we'd go flying. But he made the chain long enough so he wouldn't hit the Jeep. Well, you get on that slip and you sort of take pride in yourself. Look what I've dug. Boy, Pat and Charlie can't do as much as I can. And we, instead of looking at ourselves, what we should or could be doing, us brothers were looking at each other. They can't do the job I can. When Daddy give out candy bars, but that's not fair. They always get that, but I never. When we use the word always and never, we're in trouble. In big trouble. Because really there is, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of the Lord, there really is all never, except for this. Always or never really don't cut it. Look at his pride here in verse 29. And he answering and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. How many of us can say, neither have I transgressed at any time? None of us. But yet we'll stand in judgment of each other. We'll stand in judgment of people outside these walls. That's prideful. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And just like us kids on the slip, look what I'm doing. Sometimes in church thinking, look what I'm doing, and those guys aren't doing anything. That's prideful. Because what we are doing in the church, what we are doing as service to the Lord Jesus Christ, is nothing extraordinary. It's only reasonable. It's only what's expected. Sacrifice in service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is only reasonable. We as individuals need to get off our high horses and be concerned with our reasonable service and not look at others. Because we can end up just like this elder's son in a heartbeat. Not only was he looking at the duty of the lack of duty of his brother, but we also see his pride. Look at me. Neither have I ever transgressed. And yet you killed the fatted calf for him? Boy, what a father you are. You're not fair. Romans chapter 9, verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will compassion. Our God is sovereign. And because Susie Jane over there, because Susie Jane may not be serving the Lord, yet the Lord blesses her, we should be happy and glad for her. Not angry because the Lord decides to bless her, because it's up to the Lord. It's not up to me, little old me. Sometimes we say, well, you know, we honored the Lord and the Lord blessed us. We honored the Lord because we should honor the Lord. We serve the Lord because it's reasonable. And if the Lord chooses to bless us, that's in His sovereign will. But it should not be an example, well, you know, I lived the right life and I followed the Word of God and look how the Lord's blessed me. No, the Lord blessed me because God is good. Because God loves me. Psalm chapter 115, verse 1 says, Not unto us, Lord. Not, he repeats it twice, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. It's for his glory he blesses people. Not so we can glory and look what we did for God. Look what I did in the church. Look how I served the Lord and the Lord blessed me. It's for his glory. Oh my goodness. The giver of all gifts chose to bless me. The one who died on the cross, who paid the price for my sin for eternity, he chose to bless me. Not only was he prideful, but look at verse 29. He was very self-righteous. Once again, we read, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, which is only his reasonable service, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Then he's got cops another attitude in verse 29. Never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. After he's looking at what his father did with his younger brother, he was more or less being a big crybaby and said, it's not fair. Because my dad chose to give Patrick a candy bar and not me, that doesn't mean it's fair. That means in my dad's eyes, maybe I was being a crybaby. I got flipped over once too many times and wasn't holding on like I should. And we know Charlie didn't do anything right. Envious. Envy. We look at our brothers and sisters in Christ with envy. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 4 reads, wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Envy will eat us up. We shouldn't be looking at how fair we think God should be or unfair we think God is. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of bones. Not only is he this elder or prideful brother envious, but look at verse 30. And he said unto him, son, thou art... Oh, but as soon as this thy son was come, he's still talking to his dad, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for a fatted calf. He became nasty toward his brother. He became bitter. Look at verse 28. He was angry and he would not go in. Oh, that's what you're doing for my little brother? That's what you're doing for my prodigal brother? That's what you're doing for my wasteful brother? Fine. I won't go in. How many of us have done that with service in this church at one time or another? We look at some people who, that we, to our knowledge, don't serve the Lord. And we work and we work. And we say, finally, we say, hey, only 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That's not fair. Fine. I'm going to sit here and fold my arms, and I won't serve either. Oh my goodness. What's wrong with that picture? Because if every one of us folded our arms, we'd have to close the doors. If every one of us folded our arms, how many of us would be here today if the churches in prior to us had folded their arms and we had not received the gospel of Jesus Christ? We might be headed toward hell right now. We shouldn't be folding our arms. We should be holding our hands high. Amen. And asking the Lord, praising Him for saving our souls and asking Him, what can we do for you, my God? And not look at each other with envy. Not look at each other with bitterness. If we're serving, praise God. Let's serve more. It's our reasonable service. If some of us aren't serving, praise God. We're still alive. We're still breathing. We can still serve the Lord. Oh my goodness. It's a great day in the house of God. Amen. Wow. We can't look at our brothers and sisters. We got to look to our Lord Jesus Christ, for He never fails us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the faithful one. Every one of us here will fail one another. Jesus Christ won't, and He can't. We see the attributes of the Father. Look at verse 27. And He said unto him, Thy brother is come. And the father had killed the fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound. Hey, this father had compassion on his son that came back. He received his rebellious son back into the household. Not only did he have compassion, but he had sympathy. Look at verse 28. And he was angry. This is the prideful son. And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out. His father came out to meet him. His father was concerned about him. His father loved him, just like he loved the rebellious son. He came out, and God will meet us anywhere at any time. He has that much concern over us and our lives. And he entreated him. In other words, he invited him. And then this kid sounds off in verse 29 and 30, and the father listened to him. Wow. Our God is interested in us, and he listens to us. He not only listens to us, but he has patience with us. And our Father has patience with us, and he still chooses to bless us. Look at the attitudes of the father. Verse 31. After his son unloads on him with all these accusations, with all these hard-hearted accusations, this is what his father tells his prideful son in verse 31. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. He calls his kid son after all that. But as many received him, John chapter 1 verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For thou art ever with me. John chapter 3 verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, everlasting life. We're forever with our Father. No matter if we sit down and cross our arms, no matter if we are and not good stewards with what He's given us to be managers over, He still loves us, and He guarantees us eternal life because He's a faithful God, because He's a loving God, because He's a covenant-keeping God. If you're here this morning and you know not with certainty that heaven is your home, know this. The Bible says we're all sinners. But God commendeth His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ finished the work on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says we need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. How does one become born again? By faith in Jesus Christ, believing He gave power to be the sons of God. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe and then call on Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Just like that, the Bible promises that your sins will be forgiven forever. You're given eternal life forever. You're given everlasting life forever. Why? Because God loves you. God loves you immensely. Verse 31, He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He's still his father. And he still keeps his promises. All that I have is thine. But with that, he's still his brother's father. He showed mercy unto his brother. He's still the wasteful brother's father. He's still the prodigal brother's father. God doesn't change. We're not more important than the next guy. God is not a respecter of persons. Sometimes when people talk and share things, you've got to wonder what the object is. Is the object to finally get them out of God's will? Is the object finally trying to get them to realize we don't like the guy? What is the object when we talk about other people? What is the object when we point fingers? What is the object when we cast judgment on someone else? What is our object? Is our object to say, neither have I transgressed against my father? We've got to love people. Yes, there are people who don't do the things we think they should do. Or there are people who don't do right things. There are people who sin. There are believers who sin. Yeah, there are believers who sin. Rather than pointing fingers, we ought to be down on our knees with folded hands and praying for them. We ought to have an open hand of fellowship and asking them if they need some help. Hey, this life isn't easy. This life isn't easy for the lost guy. This life isn't easy for the saved guy. It's a tough world out there. Every one of us are predisposed to sin. Every one of us have weak moments. And we're striving to be like Christ. We're to be there for one another. And not take a prideful attitude. And our life shouldn't be based on what someone else is doing or not doing. Our life should be based upon our relationship with our Father, who is faithful, who does bless us, who is righteous, who still keeps His promises, and He's still our Father. We're going to have an invitation here in a couple shakes. And got to ask this question. What about the attribute of the believer? Are we this morning here sympathetic? Do we have sympathy toward those around us? Are we malicious? Have we said across the kitchen table, boy, the Joneses aren't doing things right. I'll bet you those kids are going to grow up to be renegades. And then we find ourselves almost hoping for it when we say it, because all of a sudden we'll be vindicated because I'm pretty spiritual. I'm pretty righteous. Neither have I transgressed at any time against my Father. Are we sympathetic toward our fellow man? Are we sympathetic toward our brother? Are we compassionate? Are we repentant this morning? Are we willing to repent and ask God to give us the grace to keep our eyes on ourselves and not on others? What about the attitudes of the believer? In verse 32, the father tells his brother, tells the prideful brother, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. It's only proper. It's only suitable that we should be glad for our brothers when they get blessed. That we should be glad for our brothers when they come back. It's only the right thing to do. Do we have that kind of attitude? Finally, we need to realize this morning who we are. When it's all boiled down, we're just like these two brothers. We're a child, deplete of wisdom, deplete of the wisdom of God, except what we find in here. We're completely dependent on the Father. And we should realize how we should live. Humbled. Humbled. Humbled, knowing that Jesus Christ is our Creator, our Redeemer, our Protector, our Provider, our Friend. Humbled, not to look at others and what others do or don't do, but humbled enough to look toward the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. And what He asks us to do, which is our reasonable service. And we need this morning to learn how to say, thank you. Thank you, Father. Forgive me. Forgive me of being prideful, self-righteous, envious, bitter and angry. Then we learn how to say, thank you. What song are we going to sing this morning?
375.
375. Before we sing, let's pray real quick and ask God to give us the wherewithal to come forward this morning and be what we should be. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to work on our hearts even now. Please, Lord, help us realize we are nothing without you. Help us to repent of our sin. Help us to repent of pride. And help us to love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. What song, what's page number again?
375.
375 this morning.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
This evening we'll finish up on the Lord of Deliverance. We're looking tonight from storms to serenity. From storms to serenity. And we're going to enjoy the day that the Lord has given us. And I ask Rick D'Amato, would you please close us in prayer?